Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's HIGHWAY.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
Janet just reminded me that invites will go out, but certainly to those who want to bring families and use it as an outreach, there will be tables outside. You can come in early and book your table and put your stuff out. That was Janet's. Back to just the prayer thing for this morning. Lord, I ask that you give us hearts to receive, ears to hear, and just childlike humility as we look forward to the great things you've got for your church. Thank you, Jesus, that you are about building your church. That your church is so important to your purposes for the cosmos. And on that day when you show your bride out of every tribe, every nation, of every age, and you hold her up as a trophy of that which your heart desired, when you set your affections on a bride, on a church that would be yours for eternity, included in the beautiful relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is no small thing that you are about, Jesus, when you said you're going to build your church. And Lord, as we look to the New Testament, we look to the apostolic writings, and we garner from it the importance and the way forward as a community of people called your church. I pray that this morning it would come by revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you take your seats and we take up the offering, you probably guessed it by now, but title would be 8 characteristics of what makes a healthy church. If a church is healthy, it'll grow. In the same way, if soil is healthy, plants can grow. Be careful where you spit your pips, because if soil is healthy, stuff germinates and grows. And it's true of the church that Jesus is building. You and me are parts of that church. And if the church is healthy, the church will grow. Grow in terms of its own spirituality and intimacy with God. Grow in terms of people being added regularly, being saved and born again into the beautiful church that Jesus is building. Now, it's the church, which is one body of all time, has its local manifestation in a group of people who come around apostolic ordained leadership and local churches that are in relationship with others through apostolic prophetic networks. So we're not the only church, but we represent the church. The woman next to you, if you're married, isn't the only woman, but she represents woman to you. And the church is important both in its global and its local context. Now, I want to talk this morning about this beautiful church that Jesus is invested in with the blood and water that flowed from his side, which was the washing of the word that came to birth a church. As first Adam from his side, Eve was given. So in last Adam, Christ, from his side, a church was birthed and born through his death and resurrection. And I want to just speak about 8 characteristics. I'm going to liken them to planks that you would build a barrel with. And we'll see at the end of this illustration how that the barrel is not determined by the height of 1 or 2 planks, but by all of the planks together. So if you can hold that outline basically in the back of your mind. And all the time, let's evaluate. How are we doing as a church? How are we doing as individuals? How am I doing in terms of these 8 characteristics? Number 1 is leaders are empowered. Leaders are empowered. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, it was he, talking about Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. And here's why they were given. Verse 12. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So it was He that gave these gifts. I remind myself of that whenever I'm just having a bad day and thinking, gee, how would life have been if we'd gone down a different road or chosen a different career or done things differently? And I have to occasionally, in those blue Mondays, remind myself that actually He chose me. He chose you. And the church isn't built around Steve Wheeler and Janet Wheeler's Ministries International. It's built around a leadership, a team of people that He's given. Important for this church to know who those leaders are. Last Sunday, I called out a group of people. These are people that catch our DNA. Janet and my primary job is to recognize and identify leaders who resonate with the new covenant message we carry, the message of grace, the finished work of the cross, but also people who can give us commitment for a period of time, who have got a gift in an area of ministry, whether it's children or worship or looking after the life groups or coordinating various things. And these leaders in the church, there has to be a chemistry with them. You know, competence is important. They need to be able to do the job, but they also need to have a chemistry with us and a commitment for around a year, it can be longer, that they can come and undergird and blow wind into our sails. I prayed for a couple of people last week. I know the Marotso way, who look after the life group structure in the church, and all the life group leaders who give themselves to that ministry. Also, Trevor and Jill, I think I did see Trevor somewhere today, that he is involved with the shepherding and the caring, the overseeing of practical needs. There's Dom and Rhoda, who have for this last year, with Dave Betts, overseen the worship teams, and we know they're going away at the end of the year. But and Dave stepped into that role. There's other people in children's ministry. Saw Therese in the service. She gets to the service once every several weeks when she's got other teams operating next door. Well done with what you've done this year with the children's ministry. We appreciate that. Appreciate you. And the many others. In that group of leaders, of champions, they're those whose ministry is primarily outreach and apostolic, going ministry, like Terry and Joe. Just amazing the gift that they are to work with the African pastors in Natal. And Bill and Anne, who are away this weekend, they work into Southern Africa and Livingston and many other regions. These men and women are gifts of leadership that He has given to this church, not just to do the work, but so that we can be ministered to through their gift, that we all get stirred up and get behind these ventures. When we hear about the water going to Monzi, that's not just credited to their account. It's credited to our account. Because if we are part of this local church, every venture, every person saved, every family reached is part of what we are doing. If you're part of this local church. Amen? So it's not Stephen Janet Wheeler's Ministries International, as some may think. There's this team of people. Maybe just to mention James and Corrine. Don't you guys want to... we all know who you are, so you don't have to stand up. But amazingly, over the last 12 years, how they've given of themselves, worked James variously into the youth, and then as a pastor and administratively. But a few years ago, James felt like this would be a time for him also to explore business possibilities. And he's looking into different business models. And as you know, he's involved with East Coast Radio already. And the future's bright for them. But a few years back, he just felt like he loves ministry. We're all in ministry. But he also wanted to explore business opportunities. But in that process, that gets very busy. And often we find it difficult to marry that intense involvement in the life of the church with new business ventures. And they asked to be excused from that function, which is okay for in our lives. You know, the birds in the front of the formation take all the bugs on the beak, and sometimes they tuck back into the pack, into the flock, would be a better word. And others take the knocks. And they've just felt like for this season they need to focus specifically on their business and family things. And because they're not doing the work of shepherding elders, it's no use having a title for something you're not doing. Because leadership, empowering leadership, is not just about having a title. It's not giving a title to someone until death do us part, you know. It's a functional something we're involved in. It's like a stepfather who knows he's not can't replace the dad, but he'd rather be a good stepdad than be a bad dad, if you understand my analogy there. I hope you get that. So rather be a good member of the church than not be doing the job of a title. So James and Corinne, we just want to say, bless you guys in these business opportunities you got. May God keep you, make his face shine upon you. And I just want to come here quickly. I want to pray for you. And I knew it was going to happen. I looked around and I saw some of the other champions that aren't here. They would have been standing up in the front here, and then you guys would have come and stood in front of them. That was my picture, but I think all the guys took the weekend off. Well, half the guys. But Gary, Dave, Janet, Dave, if your name's Dave or Terry, just come. And let's just bless them. This is an exciting time they are in their life. They've been a huge blessing to this church. James's gift of preaching is not connected to his eldership, okay? He doesn't have to be an elder to preach. He's got a gift of preaching, and we can use that gift, and we'll benefit from that gift. But they just felt for this season of their life to be released from that team that I was talking about, who are the leaders of this house. So won't you reach out your hands, and we just bless them this morning, and say thank you for James and Corinne, Lord. Thank you for the many years, the 12, 13 years of involvement in the life and the ministry, coming out of school, giving themselves to Year of Your Life, running Year of Your Life, being involved with the youth and raising up youth leaders and the various functions. And now we pray for favor on their businesses. Favor on East Coast Radio. Let East Coast Radio be different because they're there. And Lord, let this myth of full-time versus part-time ministry be evaporated over their life. And let them be everything you've called them to be in the season that you take them into. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless. Thanks, guys. Yeah, that's a fitting thing to do. So we got through the one plank. Is that all right? That only took 20 minutes. Now that's an important one. Empowered leaders. The second one is priesthood. Priesthood, the operating in our gifts and good works that we've been called to. In Romans 12 verse 4 it says this. Just as each of us, say each of us, has one body with many limbs, and those limbs do not all have the same function. So, as an illustration, in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts. Say different gifts. According to the grace given us, so if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. It's not a comprehensive list. It's not an exclusive list. It's just showing that God has gifted us differently. We have different strengths and talents and abilities. And you will be your best when you're functioning in what you got. Hello? And that'll really bring life to you and to those around you. When you're functioning in the gift that you operate best at. In fact, even Steve's story this morning with the Monzi is a picture of the good works and the gifts that God has given us that can be a blessing to someone else and bring life somewhere else. Who's waiting on the other side of you stepping into your gift and your good work? Whose life needs to be blessed? Can you see why this is so important? That we find and function, operate in our gift. And sometimes you've just got to do it even if you don't feel competent or if you don't, if you feel a bit afraid. For example, when I gave my life to the Lord, I don't know if I found him, actually he found me, but I had a real encounter with his presence. And I knew that I wanted to pass this on to other people. I didn't have many natural talents, didn't have the natural education that I thought I needed and all that stuff, but I did have a desire in my heart to want to share. So I would take little opportunities that God gave me because I did it effortlessly. I loved doing it. And once I was asked to preach as a young Christian, I was asked, can you preach? Of course I can preach. Would you like to? Of course I would. Okay, next Sunday you're going to be at such and such a Methodist church in Paul Petersburg. Oh, really? So I prepared for about 7 sermons. Got there. I just knew I wanted to give what I got. And I tried my best and I got up. It's very clear in my mind. The clock said 9:15. And by the time I'd finished my sermon and said everything of all 4 sermons, it was about 9:20. And I stood there thinking the clock had been broken, but it hadn't been. I gushed it all out in about 5 minutes. And in panic, I looked at the leaders in the front who had kind of met me that morning for the first time, expecting this great man of power for the hour, looking up at me going, what's next? And I was looking at them saying, what's next? And they're looking at me going, what's next? Eventually, one of them saved me. He came out and thank you to the young man for bringing God's word. And I'm not sure what, I think we'll just close the service. So by 9:30, everyone was on their way home. I mean, now some people wish that happened. Do it afraid. So you've got a heart to serve, a heart to give mercy, a heart to be generous, a heart to prophesy, a heart to teach. You might feel you lack. Just do it afraid. Do it in your feeling of total incompetence. And let God use our seeming weaknesses for His glory. Amen? We're going to be doing a course through the church called Strength Finders. It just helps people connect with their areas of natural, God-given talent. And we started with the champions in the church, the key leaders. And we're working through now, and Terry's going to be helping me. Terry's a great help with Strength Finders, and he's knowledgeable on the topic, with the life group leaders. And then eventually, maybe next year, take it to the life groups. Both as helping people find out where their strengths lie to help their gifts flow, and also as an outreach to people who would like to know how to be more effective in their lives. So, a little bit about the priesthood of all believers. The third plank in the barrel is that of spiritual passion. Romans 12 verse 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Whose responsibility is that? It's ours. Only you can do that for yourself. If our spiritual fervor wanes, if our spiritual zeal is, our first love is feeling it's grown cold, I have a responsibility to stir up my fervor, stir up my zeal. And I personally know how it feels sometimes in the middle of the week to just be so busy with things and haven't spoken to Father for a couple of days, you know, since Sunday, obviously. Always talk to Father on Sunday. And yeah, you are knowing only you can make a difference. So Steve, what would help us in those moments? Well, you can start recounting the good things God has done for you. You'd be amazed, you know, even some of the hardships you're going through in your life is a dream for someone else's life. I mean, we just don't know how good we got it sometimes. But to start recounting what the blood of Jesus meant. I love that word Rob shared. If you weren't here this Sunday morning, Rob Rufus shared, listen to that, but with an open, humble heart. What the blood of his hands represented. What the blood of his brow represented, what the blood on his back represented, what the blood on his feet represented, the blood in the garden, the blood flowing from his side. We have to get alone and reconsider the good things he's done and the things he did when he finished the work on the cross and said, I have taken your sin so that I can give you my righteousness. Man, our zeal needs to be stirred up to know that Jesus couldn't be more righteous by what he did. And he gave me that same standing with the Father, that I can't be any more righteous by what I do, only by receiving by faith what he gave me. Those things should be precious to us. Those things should stir us up on the inside. You have to fan your zeal. If you're getting cold, if you're losing your first love, you are the person to blame. Not your spouse, not your church, not the government. You have to keep your spiritual fervor. I shared this with Janet in the week, and she said, you know, what helps her, because I asked her what helps her. She says is, to think of something that she's excited about. Maybe it's meeting with the kids for a meal. Maybe it's going out on a date with me. You know, maybe it's an upcoming holiday. Just something that, oh man, I'm excited and looking forward to that thing. And then translate that emotion into, that's how I want to be with Jesus. I want to feel that same excitement, that same stirring, that same zeal. And if I'm not feeling that, why not? I have a responsibility. And to that end, the next plank is helpful. Small groups meeting together with other believers for prayer and fellowship and for encouragement. It says in Romans, at least in Acts 2 verse 46, every day they continue to meet together in the temple courts. So it was in Solomon's colonnade. The whole company of believers came together under the apostolic declaration of the gospel. But they also, it says, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Christianity is not an individualistic sport. It's not going out there playing golf on my own. It's a team sport. It's got to be worked out with other. I was going to use a rugby analogy, but I thought that just doesn't work as well as it did a few years ago. But it's a team engagement, getting around other believers. They're devoted to the to being together, breaking bread and praying for each other. This is a very, very necessary returning my zeal and my passion, is when I'm connected relationship, inquiry relationship with other believers, and we have times of where we committed to get together. That's why we have the life group structure in the church. It's because most of us are very busy, and if it's just left to our own inclination, it's probably going to be a never land. We'll have great intentions, but all the roads with great intentions lead to nowhere. So we button it down to a committed evening in the week. But that night, we're going to get together with other believers, and we're going to pray for each other, fellowship, break bread. And that is a vital part of our Christian discipline. It's not just the missing of one gym session that changes the shape of things. It's a sustained missing of gym sessions. I got some insight into this. I know you'd think under this outfit there's a perfect body and all the rest, but I deliberately wear baggy shirts. July, I got this flu that I've been battling on and off for 3 months, except last week they prayed for me. Wednesday morning they prayed at the prayer meeting, and I'm feeling the best I've felt in a long time. But after 3 months of no exercise, just feeling like I'm starting to have to get new shirts, you know? Same in the spiritual life. It's not just the missing of prayers. It's not just the missing of breaking of bread. It's not just the missing of worship or the preaching of the apostles' doctrine that's going to change my shape within a week. It's the sustained, ongoing practice of missing. And small group is vital to working out amongst the community of friends. And that doesn't have to necessarily be only the structured route. The structured route is there to help people who need structure in their life. But other people gather with other groups of people. So Steve, you mean I've got my sports buddies, that's my life group. Well, not necessarily. Are you praying for each other? Are you breaking bread? Are you fellowshipping? Is someone bringing the word as they felt God speak to them? Are you connected into the local body through leadership and submission, as this church is linked into a broader group of churches through submission and accountability? If not, it might just be a sports group. And that's okay. Doesn't guarantee that's your place of working out your Christianity. But it could be. So small groups. The fifth plank, where are we now? Yeah. Is those meetings in the colonnade, the corporate services, where the church gets together once a week, like when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, when you come together the last day of the week. Look at this, Romans 1 Corinthians 14, 26 says, what then shall we say, brothers, when you come together? Say, when we come together. Everyone has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. So there you have it. In the context of the gifts edifying one another, that we come together, when we come together. And then Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and more, all the more, as you see the day approaching. And there's many other passages you could throw in there. But the importance of the corporate gathering. Now, here's the amazing thing. And this plank is services that are inspirational. And just because we come together doesn't mean it's inspirational. But you can ask any two people in the week, you bump into them, how did you find Sunday? Was it inspirational? How was the worship? How was the ministry? How was your fellowship? And, oh, it was awesome. The angels appeared. I could hear heavenly harps playing. And you bump into someone else, and it's not the same story. Two same people in the same meeting place. Now, I know that sometimes it's just a lack of preparation or a lack of execution, and there's no excuse for that. What happens once in a blue moon, we give grace. But whoever comes here to minister should really have been in God's presence enough to, God, what are you wanting for the church? Whether that's all the different aspects of what makes a service inspirational. So that's one excuse. But the other one is, I think it's often how people position themselves to receive. Because if I come along on Sunday just kind of, oh, I dare you to bless me today, Pastor. I wonder what it's going to be like. And while the worship's going on and people are engaged in singing how great His love is and His majesty, I'm on my phone going through my emails, checking it out, Facebook update, picture of me again, update, status, selfie, get Dave Betts in the background, update me. Or else I come with an attitude of, Lord, I'm desperate for a touch from heaven. I want to experience passion in my life. I want to know what you are thinking about my generation. And Lord, I need hope recovered. I need courage restored in my life. So Lord, when the word gets preached today, I'm not going to look up at the pastor like, you know, you're so lucky to have me in your church today, you know. You know, if you just knew how many things I could be doing. No, I'm going to come with an agreement. When He says God is good, I'm going to say amen. When He says God's got good plans for your life, I'm going to agree. When He says I need to be used by God in my gifts of service and generosity and showing mercy, I'm going to say, yes, Lord, I agree with that. I want that. When He declares, don't forsake the gathering of the saints, I'm going to say, yes, Lord, help me. When he says things like, stir up your spiritual zeal, I'm going to take an honest inventory of my life and I'm going to audit myself under heaven and say, God, my first love isn't what it should be. So I'm going to agree with that word today. Amen. And it doesn't hurt to say amen in church, by the way. In fact, it's really tough to sit and speak to people who look disengaged. It's so nicer to bring a word of God to people who actually look like they could benefit from something. Well, thank you for your great enthusiasm. Thank you. Now, hopefully that's not just an appeal to, you know, have my own ego stroked or my own insecurities dealt with. But it is helpful when people engage and come and lean forward and say, today I want to hear from God. Come on, Pastor, give me a word that I can hang on to. Come on, worship team, I'm here to worship today. So I'm going to be a little bit different. I might even get up my aisle today. I might even walk up and down the aisles and, hey, I might even go to the front and lift up my hands and do something different. Stand on my chair, get glued to the wall, you know, do bag flick flex. I don't know. I'm open to anything, Lord, today, because these guys up here aren't performing for our approval. They're here to worship themselves, but when I get in there with them, when the guy's preaching, he's also preaching it himself. And he's pouring out things that he's been wrestling with in the week. Shame, I only get it for half an hour on Sunday. He's had to put up with this the whole week. Can you imagine? You know? And that's how I feel. I've only got half an hour, 40 minutes to bring what I believe are anointed words to God's people. And if you receive them as that there's a word going out that's cloaked in anointing. It's God's stamp on it. It's got God's approval on it. It's a word that can change your situation if you add faith to it. That you have a responsibility to say, I believe in the righteousness of Jesus. And He gave it to me. And I stand without blame and without shame and without condemnation. And now I'm going to take my gift and I'm going to make it count so someone else is blessed. Come on, you've got to add faith to that. So services that are inspirational are two-way. Position your attitude to receive from God, but also position your attitude to be a blessing from God for someone else. Okay, we can do three more. Yeah, still got 25 minutes. Okay. The sixth plank in this barrel of a healthy church is structures that are necessary. I say, importantly, structures that are necessary, because you can have structures that are unnecessary. You know, a bunch of grapes doesn't come at the end of a don't tell me it says structures. No, it doesn't. No! Okay, structures. We're really going to fix the spelling of that, aren't we? You see, a bunch of grapes doesn't come at the end of a branch that's a meter in diameter. The right structures facilitate the right outcome. Oh, yes. Now I know there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. Here's my cries and my petitions. So necessary structures that are in proportional to keeping the main thing the main thing. You only need as much scaffolding as you need for the building. But systems, administration, structure is important in a local church. Everything needs organizing. Everything needs, there's security that goes through the church. There's finances from the collection to the end of the year audit. There's stages and everything that happens. Rosters and teams and people being notified. The administration has to run well. It can become a headache sometimes and has to be trimmed down. And that's why you need pruning every now and then on a bush to trim back the things that were fruitful last year but aren't needed this year. I understand that. And I get that. But this is a vital role. Let me ask you, all these other things, there's the prophetic gifts, leadership gifts, and prophetic evangelist gifts. But here we got the gift of administration. It's someone who can walk into chaos and see systems. It's like Louise Gibbon. She can walk into a nightmare or end result is all the members having meals in each other's homes, which is just a pile of names and addresses and opportunities. And she's got the kind of mind that can put it into a structure. But I believe there's other people here have got those gifts. And if you don't, then please don't put your hand up for it. Because there's nothing worse than giving an unstructured, a structured responsibility. I don't know if you've heard of Paul Manwaring. He is on Bill Johnson's apostolic team, global apostolic team. And when you ask him, what is your gift? Because you know, he's got prophets with him and apostles and, you know, teachers and on the team with Bill Johnson. What is your gift, Paul Manwaring? He says, I'm an administrator. Hey, but that's not as cool as a prophet. Hey? That doesn't sound as like snazzy and sexy as an apostle. He's an administrator. He says, that's what I'm gifted to do. To go in and give strategic thinking and planning to what otherwise could be chaotic. And I'm thinking, wow, and he's on Bill Johnson's apostolic team with that gift. Can you see how vital that gift is? Maybe you're not an apostle or an evangelist or prophet, but maybe you carry that thing. We need you. And all the people who got you in the week and the building was still locked and couldn't get in the doors because the roster, you know, hadn't got to the right people in time, said amen. There's a lot that goes on. And we need administrative gifts in the various champions teams. Not to come in as the expert and say, do this, do that, but to come in and observe and then come with a proposal and say, if only you trim that branch and put in a new branch, aha. Maybe you got that gift. Maybe that's what's needed. The seventh plank, I'll finish with these quickly, is evangelism of kindness. It's evangelism, but that's not program-based. Knock, knock, who's there? Based. It's nothing wrong with some programs, but this is the evangelism that everybody's involved in. It's just learning to be kind. And when we are kind, we open up an opportunity to share a message. So whether that's taking water to Monzi, or as I shared last week, a guy in the church who's built a house for his gardener. If you are led by the Spirit to do that, not everyone's going to do things of that magnitude. Maybe yours is to pray for someone's child, a guy you work with whose child's sick in hospital. Maybe it's just to take someone a meal. But in some way, through kindness, we can all be kind. And it opens a door to be able to share the gospel, the person of Jesus. That plank, I think, is at a very all-time low across the Church of Jesus in general. I thought, I was reminded of an amazing story, again, Janet gave it to me during the week, was a couple that arrived here some years back on the street, had been sleeping under the bridge, needed a place to stay, it was raining. We're very careful of those situations. But she felt, yes, let's get them some counsel. Someone will see them. They spent a couple of weeks here and eventually left. They arrived on our doorstep a few weeks ago, smartly dressed, clean shaven, drove up in a car, came to say thank you. Because not only had their lives been rededicated to God and they got their marriage back on track, but they were being used by that same organization that they went in with as now helpers to addicts and alcoholics. They just came to say thank you. And I thought, wow, act of kindness. It says in Galatians 8 verse 9, let's not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And then the final plank is love. A loving environment. How high is that plank in your life? How high is kindness evangelism in your life? How high is services that are inspirational in your life? How high is this last one? Loving. It says in Romans 12 verse 9, love must be sincere. That's it. Love must be sincere. But he says this after just talking a whole bunch of verses about the gifts that we operate in. So can you see it's the glue that holds all this together, when there's a real loving attitude and heart towards one another. By this, they're going to know you're my disciples. By how quickly you bust your bond. No. But by how much you loved one another. I was so encouraged last Sunday. A lady who'd been in the church for some years came. She was passing through town. She was supposed to meet with someone where she was going to stay on her route out. And this person, they got their dates wrong. And she ended up coming down to Durban on the weekend. The people were in church. She had nowhere to stay. She didn't come asking for anything. But in conversation, she mentioned it to one of the ladies while they were drinking coffee. And it's Bernard and Megan, I think you're here this morning. Also away. They came to Janet and said, this lady's spoken to us. Do you know her? Janet said, yes, she was involved many years in the church, a good woman. She's needing a place to stay for a couple of days. Do you think that is a wise thing to do? Absolutely. And they were just able to take her in. And she spent a few days, gave Janet a call yesterday. So appreciative. But here's a small thing. But I like the whole story because I like the way that someone had enough wisdom to come to someone who knew that person and said, what do you think? Is this a wise thing to do? Because there's some horror stories out there as well. I don't want you and I will go pick up every hitchhiker you see and try and, you know, get your plank up in love. No, there's other ways to do it. But it must be sincere. Love must be sincere. Which means there's also an insincere kind of love. But we're not going to get into that this morning. Okay, next picture, Kay. When you put these together and you got this barrel of planks, you'll notice some are higher than others. Maybe our services are inspirational, but our meeting in small community is very weak. And maybe our evangelism and kindness is good works and operating in the gifts, but in the area of loving, we're really low. When we pour water into this barrel, as the next slide is going to do, you'll notice that this barrel is not going to fill up to its strongest potential. It's not going to fill up to the thing we're doing really well. It's the health of all those together, the lowest of them, that's going to determine the heart that we fill. So back to 8 characteristics of a healthy church. When these things are true about us, individually and corporately, we will see a growing, thriving community. A church will grow, not because it had a goal and a 3-year numerical goal, but because it worked around these areas of seeing them healthy and mature together. But this is a good time to take stock even in your own life. And say, if one of these is really low, what is that one for you? Because that's how much the barrel is going to be filled up. Can we stand up together? Just as a reflective question as I conclude now. Just for you personally. Was there an area on this barrel where you're saying, that's an area in the church that I could make a difference? Or where I'm very weak at the moment? Just agree with me as I pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are building this beautiful organism called the bride, the church. Thank you, Lord, that you've gifted me at this season into the life of this church for whatever the church is needing right now. But thank you, there's other people standing here, Lord, that are equally gifted, some more. And have something, one of these areas that's lacking. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be the one that causes fruit. That signs would follow the preaching of this word. Not because it's persuasive or salesmanly, but because it's revelation. Yes, Jesus is building something that will be his bride for eternity. And right now, it has a representation in this marriage that I'm in right now through this local church. And I can be part of the solution. And together we want to pray in agreement with that prophetic word that came in the worship. That Lord, you have promised that this church will be a threshing sleigh. It will see harvest on the mountains. That we will be a lighthouse shining into the communities and the city around. That you've said that this church will be fruitful and will prosper. And now we want to agree with those prayers. And we want to pray for a healthy church. We want to pray for a church that's barrel is balanced. But not balanced downwards to the lowest one, but balanced up to the highest one. We thank you for grace, Lord. We thank you for the message of the new covenant, like liquid gold that's being poured out and poured out. But Lord, it's not going to be contained if it's running out and running out. So we ask for strategy and gifting, and we pray for wisdom in all of these areas as we move forward into the most exciting years as a local church. Into an exciting time as a local church. Every part doing its part to the glory of God. Amen and amen. God bless. Thank you to those who've been through this twice. You needed to hear it, obviously, twice. But to everyone else, have an awesome Sunday. God bless.